given all that we experienced here last Sunday. The impossible has happened. Jesus is risen. God has overcome death itself. Mary has spoken with the risen Jesus directly, and he has told her, among other things, that those who hear the gospel are now children of God. We are all going to be included in the family. Re-entering the text at this point, we expect a scene filled with all kinds of commotion as these disciples have gotten this most incredible news. A scene filled with rejoicing or relieved weeping or elated surprise. And activity, lots of activity as they prepare to go out and proclaim all of this to the world. But that's not what's happening at all. Instead, we hit this dead stop, these locked doors. The disciples are in the locked room, still hiding and afraid, probably for lots of reasons. Guilt, cowardice, disbelief, lack of imagination, perhaps, but definitely stuck, not responding to Mary's testimony, "I have seen the Lord," not responding to her proclamation of the risen Jesus, of abundant life, of a world changed forever, of all that is now possible through God's love, because, well, they're really, really busy hiding. So Jesus goes to them and meets them there, in their fear, in their imposed isolation, and offers them peace went forth with Mary and Thomas and the rest of the disciples to proclaim it to the world. And one would think that we'd be very, very busy with this good news. And sometimes we are. But in all fairness, consider our context, Jesus. We are Episcopalians and New Englanders. Double whammy. We are not so big on the proclamation. Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." What if we heard these words in the full context of the story, said by Jesus, who has sought them out and come to these disciples and already forgiven them their failures and their falling short, their fears and insecurities, and stood in their midst and given them his peace first and foremost, then his power, and then again his peace? Maybe then we could consider being honest in our response, admitting that, like Thomas, we have those moments of conditional belief. Even though we desperately need to believe we belong here, we have these doubts which leave us wondering what we're doing here in the first place, because it's all a little bit too incredible, really. We don't get the same kind of hard evidence that Thomas and the other disciples did. We have to rely on a different kind of evidence, that of the witness of those who came before us and a faithful community around us. For many of us, the most difficult part to believe isn't the gospel story. It's the idea that we are God's beloved. To think that God loves us enough to redeem us. We talk a good game in church,